So I'd like to go weiter in some Kuf Chaf Aleph. I don't know if we'll quite finish it today, but maybe we'll finish everything today in this next packet of notes, or if not everything, come close to it. And we'll finish tomorrow. And I'd also like to look at some things, some of the dinim of Hagolas Kelim, Hechsher Kelim, are found in Orach Chaim, Siman Tov Nun Aleph, Siman Tov Nun Beis. So maybe tomorrow, the last year, hopefully we'll have time, I'll go through some of the highlights. I'm not going to prepare another sheet. I'm not going to go through any of the original Makaras. It's not part of your day. And Orach Chaim, if you want, maybe you should bring for tomorrow, have a Mishabur with you, Hilchos Pesach, okay, you know, Siman Tov Nun Aleph. Just kind of go through some of the highlights there. But continue, we started, so yesterday again, we read at the beginning of Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph here in Yeridaya, about you know, a person acquiring kelim yishanim, used kelim from a goy, means it was used for treif, and now you want to use it for kosher food. So aside from the issue of tefilas kelim, which we spoke about, you also have to get rid of the blias of iser. So again, it's all based on the concept of tam kikar, that we're concerned about flavor as well. So you have to get rid of the non-kosher flavor that's absorbed in the walls of the pot or the fork or whatever the keli is. And as I said yesterday, it's not limited to purchasing or acquiring a kli from a goy, because sometimes a Jew, by mistake, in their own kitchen, mixed up bas and cholov, we put the cook something treif by mistake, etc. So that's when the laws of Agolas Kelim become necessary. Basically, the operative principle is kibola kach polto, and there are two basic issues, you know, two basic types of blia, the two basic types of way that the kli is used, is hot and cold. Now, hot, we'll see two different types of heat, but hot and cold, okay, with sonin, when it's cold, as a general rule, there's no blia, right? The problem of be'en, so discussed yesterday, you have to wash it. And wash it doesn't mean just, you know, kind of rinse it, but wash it thoroughly to get rid of any be'en and so on, okay? Usually, you know, things that are used for cold, or glass is usually used for cold. So the truth is, we already discussed that according to many, there may not even be any blea at all by glass, even through heat. Right? We discussed glass is smooth, but we'll see whether we're machmir for Pesach not to use glasses that we use year round, you know, with our chometzik usage, not to use it for Pesach, to chom for Pesach. But here again, since it's cold, you just need you need hadoch. And again, the Ramo have a chomer for Ilchus Pesach. That's the din, you know, that's in Sif Aleph. Let's open the Shulchan Aruch here. Just a moment. It's in the Kuf Chaf Aleph. Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch simply says that, Alokech Kitashmish Yishonim, they go use it for cold, like cups and these kind of things, then you have to wash it. Right? And, you know, if it's used for hot, then, as we'll see in the next siman, that's something else. Okay? But that's if it's used for cold. The Ramah just adds, as we saw yesterday, this situation, you had a vat, a barrel, which was wood, and it was stuck together with chalev. Basically, you used lard, okay, to hold the pieces together. And even if it had for wine, it's a problem of kovush, more than 24 hours, but the wine is not bolev. Okay. Tziv Beis talks about when the medium is heat. Okay? So for that, you need hagola. If it's a metal, and it also mentions eights. Actually, Shulchan Aruch's lashon is lokach when kem shel Abraham b'chamin, bein shem shel mateches o shel eitz o even. Those are the three things that the three materials discussed yesterday. Those are the three materials that the Shulchan Aruch mentions here. Okay, namely metal, wood, and stone. Okay, stone is also mentioned. You actually again the Gemara mentions metal and the wood. Okay, those two are mentioned in the Gemara. Stone, like granite or something like that, is not mentioned in the Gemara. I think we saw, yes, it was the Rif. The Rishonim mentioned stone as well. And the idea is that Hagolah works for those things because, as we saw yesterday, based on the Pasuk, right, in Parshas Tzav, the Pasuk says, Klicheres asher tzavasha b'mushal, when you have an absorption of a forbidden flavor, in that case, the flavor is nosa, right? After you use this to cook meat for the carbonus, and it's after the period of time you can no longer eat the meat, so it becomes nosa, so that's also, so they have to break it. Sounds like Harris is the only exception, right? The earthenware is the only exception where it doesn't work. You have to break it. So therefore, Mamela, it sounds like everything else would work. So wood and metal, the Gemara discusses specifically. Granite, the Shulchan Aruch brings up. Ramoa mentions etzem, right? Clay etzem, that's what I'm over here, is clay etzem, which is boneware, like ivory, those things along those lines also. Okay, the question is, we discussed a little bit yesterday. I realized I didn't say the whole tshuva for Moshe Feinstein. I didn't print it even. I made a mistake. We're not printing the whole tshuva. Remember, Moshe Feinstein talked about rubber. Remember, we spoke about rubber. But he also, in that tshuva, discusses plastic. We saw the Tzitz Eliezer and the Sudeyesh on plastic and the makel on it, that you can kash, you can kash your plastic through Hagolah. But Ramosha actually doesn't like it because, again, the logic of plastic is a new substance, which they didn't have in the days of the Gemara. So Ramosha was concerned. As he mentioned with regards to the rubber, he was concerned. Well, you know, we don't know. Maybe Hagolah won't work. Maybe it shouldn't work. The Torah mentions Cheres, an exception. That's because they didn't have plastic at that time, so we should be choshesh of the possibility that Hagolah will not work by plastic. Okay? Now, again, the Rif, when he mentions stoneware, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, so the Rif said, well, no, Cheres is the only exception. All right, so that, if you want to say Cher is the only exception, because that's what Torah mentioned, so then plastic you can kasha through is also okay. Cher is the only exception. On the other hand, you could say, yeah, Cher is the only exception of the substances or the materials that they knew about then, or that they were in vogue or you used then, but plastic is also a problem. Okay, so that's really a machlokas. Again, we saw that, because on the other hand, I mean, maybe people didn't know about plastic, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about plastic. Right, like we said by Tevilas Kelim also, because Baruch Hu is aware of the existence of plastic or the potential existence of plastic, obviously. So he didn't know about it. So he still said Cher is the only exception. So there are many hold you can be magil plastic. The Moshe Feinstein is a chomer, and most American poskim and American kashers agents do not kasher plastic, for Pesach or for anything, unless the plastic is a small piece. Let's say sometimes you have in a dishwasher, a small dispenser where you put your dishwasher's metal, and therefore can be kashered. But there's a little plastic thing where you put the brick, I don't know, it's a brick, whatever, that cube, or whatever, the detergent. You put the detergent in there, so that's a small piece, and then we can rely on it. But in Eretz Yisrael, I commend it to Tzeliezer, or I just say many other poskim, are mekel, and as far as I know, that is the practice in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say before Pesach, they kasher, like the army and all the in the hospitals and so on. All the, these organizations will kasher plastic, because Cher is the only exception. Cher is the only exception. So, and the other thing we mentioned also, this geschmaltz. I couldn't remember what it was called. The enamel. Remember, I spoke with ASA, no, about enamel. So enamel actually is ceramic. They didn't know exactly what enamel was. You're looking at Pisrei Tshuva that we quoted. At the end, yesterday, Pesach Tshuva seemed to say that, nobody knows what it was. They wouldn't tell what it was, like a secret formula, So they didn't want, now we know what it's made of. They thought it was a form of cheres. So anyway, a Hagolah won't work, although you could do Liban, or it might destroy it. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to mention in terms of that. We also mentioned, yes, I'm not going to go over that, but, what the order is. Is the order makev? Do you have to do Tefillah before Hagolah, or must you do Hagolah before Tefillah? Is it okay to do this all the way around, and so on? But the Ramah makes an important statement here. Let me just find it here. I'll just close it. I shouldn't close it. And the Ramah says that we're not magil something. We don't do Hagolah on something which is not Ben Yomo. Right? We're concerned about Ben Yomo. Right? The Ramah says we're not magil anything which is not Ben Yomo. So what's that about? Okay. So we mentioned yesterday because when something that's the concern, it's raised by the Beis Yosef over here. That's the concern of the following simple question. I'm going to do Hagolah, right? So the Hagolah will bring out the forbidden Isser, the power of that heat. Since the Isser came in through bubbling water, it was used to water, it'll come out through bubbling water. So now the Isser flavor came out of the pot. Good, but it doesn't go right back in. It should be absorbed right back in. That's the question. So therefore, no, we say we wait until we don't kasher kli unless it's Ben Yomo. Okay, it's already Ben Yomo. So now it's already no sen tam lefgam. So now the absorbed flavor is no sen tam lefgam. So therefore, that doesn't aser. So Ezra list. I'm sorry, he's not here. Hopefully he'll hear it. Yeah, but don't we have exera in a ben yomo to ben yomo, right? So think about it. But the answer is because that's only when you have something. That exera is only in place when something started as a ben yomo and then it became an ben yomo. That was when the bliya took place. It was ben yomo. Right, and then later it became an Eino Ben Yomo. And where it goes there not to use Eino Ben Yomo, after using it when it's a Ben Yomo, right? Of a pot, in which what I said before about not Bernat, it also plays a role. But the simpler answer is that that I realized later is that when you have the gzera of not to use a pot which has an absorption of eno benyomo because otto, you know, will do benyomo. So that's talking when the blia started as a benyomo. Now you left it after 24 hours and eno benyomo. So if next time you use it, you won't wait the full 24 hours. But here the original blia came in as an eno benyomo. Right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, just 1 second. Okay. Here the original blia came in, and it was here when you had whatever was in the pot, and now it went into the water as an eno ben yomo, and it came back in as an. It wasn't didn't come in as a ben yomo and then became an eno ben yomo, right? It was the what was balea from the hot water. It was an eno ben yomo to begin with. So that's the teretz of that issue. Okay. Anyway, then the other thing, anyway, to Taz and others mentioned, is that you should work on Yeshav Shishim also. There's not enough. Then you have both things, and we're not worried about it, okay? And then there was Siv Gimel, where all he did was say, take a look in Hilchos Pesach for further details, which we will. So I just want to go through now the remaining Sifim here. I've got to know what I did with my papers. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. So what about now? So Sif Dalid talks, what about frying? Okay, if you have something in which you fried, does that need libun, the frying pan? Does it need libun, or does it need, it suffice to have hag'ola? Okay, because on the one hand, there is a liquid medium, namely the oil. You generally fry with oil, whatever the type of oil is, but you generally fry with oil. So therefore, is that therefore similar to bishul, because it is a, you know, it is a liquid medium? Or, well, not really, because basically when you fry with the oil ultimately almost disappears, right? And it's more like tzli. It's more like roasting over the open fire. So that's the question with regards to frying. Okay, there is a small amount of liquid, usually oil, okay? And the question is that like bishul? So therefore, hagala suffices? Or no, you'll need libun, which is, again, directly through the fire. So there is a tosefta in Avodah Zarah, the first of the sources in today's packet. I'm not going to go through every single source that I don't think you'll have in front of you, but Perek Tes Halacha Beis in the Tosefta and Avodah Zarah. There it says, you have a similar language, Halo Keach Kli Tashmin Avod Kachavim Dvarim Shal Mishtamit Van Matil Mein Tar and Dvarim Shal Shavim Kagon Kosol Tzuchis Yadichan Bitzona Kagon Hayoros Mamechamin Vahat Tognin. We don't have that in the Gemara. We don't have that in the Mishnah going to the end of Avodah Zarah. But here it says about Tognin, Bekum Kumusin Yadichan Beroschin. Roschin means bubbling hot water. And it mentions Tognin. Tigun is frying. So according to the Tosefta, frying pans are considered to be like any other pots which is used in water. Here it's not water, here it's oil. Okay, but that's the Tosefta. The question is, will we paskin like this Tosefta or not? So the Rush in Psochem, Perek Bay Simon Zion, that same simon we've quoted a few times, the long simon, Perek Bay Simon Zion and Psochem, the Rush talks about Umachva Shemetagninbo. So he presents a machlokes between the Avi HaEzri, that's the Rav Yoh. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoh HaLevi, the Rav Yoh, his name is called Avi HaEzri. A machlokes between the Rav Yoh and his father. His name is Rabbi Elazar ben Yoh HaLevi, so the Rav Yoh and the father, Rabbi Yoh HaLevi. Okay. Kots of Avi HaEzri, who got leave a shame Abba Mori? Okay, I was told that my father, Paskin, I was told about it after he died. I never heard this from my father. But I told after he died, Shamatzvicha Libun. Okay, so the Rav Yoh quotes his father, that the father held that it needs libun, okay? Because oil is considered, you know, that's like it's a non-entity. It disappears. It's used up. It's more like tigun. Frying is more like tzli. Again, it's true. There's some little oil that's left out of it, but basically, oil is absorbed in the cooking process. It's not like you're not really cooking in the oil in the same way that you're cooking in water. So that's the way Rav Yoh says that he heard in the name of his father, Rav Yoh HaLevi, okay? And therefore, you need libun. The medamil the tana shofen bo the boy hesek right it's similar to cooking. Below zochisi ladun lefana, but I never had the opportunity, Rav Yoh right, to discuss this and to debate this with my father. But the nearly, because I think himself, Rav Yoh himself, the sagila b'hagola, I think hagola is good enough. B'hochi nahog alma, and that is indeed the minig. Okay, and he has a couple of reasons, and he said the chachamim did not distinguish between this type of pan, that type of pan, a pan which you're frying, a pan which you're cooking, okay, pots and pans we don't find, okay. V'su, and furthermore, you have this tosefta, which says beferish, right, he read the Rush, quoting the Rav Yoh, cites this tosefta, that we just printed in source one, Perek Tes Halacha Beis, right, that mentions tigun among those things, roschen, okay, and So he says that those who think he justifies the position of the father, those who think it's like Liban, as I said before, it's because the oil kind of dries up and it needs Liban, but lo nehirli, because a lot of times when you have water also, almost all the water evaporates too. Sometimes you hard-boil eggs or whatever it is, the water also goes away and say, we're not going to find Liban. Okay, we're not going to find suddenly if somebody overcooked something and the liquid all disappeared. Sometimes you make rice like in the hot water and then all the liquid disappears. We're not going to require Liban for that. So that's the Machlokas basically. And the Rosh himself seems to side with the Rav Yoh. So the Machlokas, the Rav Yoh and the father, okay, the Rav Yoh himself, the Rosh said, no, it's still a liquid. And therefore, Hagola will be enough. Okay, the Rashba weighs in also in the Taurus Habayis in Bayis Dalad. Okay, he does mention. Sounds like he agrees with the father of the Rav Yoh. He says, "Ein retivu zeh matzil miyosha eish sholed balagamri." This little bit of wetness, the oil, does not prevent the fire from interacting directly with the food. It's not the same thing as water, where basically the water bubbles up and it's the water that cooks. Okay, but here it's not like that. It's really the fire, and therefore it's not like a kettle. It's not like these other things, and therefore lefichem stabberly sheosa machlas shematecha shemetagin abasa v'dogim. You fry meat or fry fish in it. B'shemen agabesh ein lahechsh el b'libun. It requires libun, and he writes to the end. Kein nirli she'ein somchen la tosefta. We don't rely on this tosefta because the Gemara doesn't mention it. The Gemara quotes it and doesn't leaves out. As I said, the word v'atognin atignin or whatever, it's frying utensils are not mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned in Tosefta, but when the Gemara quotes this, it doesn't mention it. That's how the Rashba holds. On the other hand, the Mordechai and Pesachim, Parakosah, the second paragraph is Tafkuf Ayin Zayin, quotes the Rav Yod, it's the Sagi Bahagolah, because the Chacham didn't make any distinction. That goes, Maimon is in Hilchos Pesach, Hilchos Chometz Umatz, the Raman Parakei, Halach Chav Gimel, Os Alev, Halach Gimel, Os Alev. He says also, Rav Yoh said it was Sagi Bahagola. On the other hand, others say, okay, quotes the Machlokas. How do we paskin? So that's Sif Dalad here, the Shulchan Aruch says, Simon Kuf Chavala Sif Dalad, Machva Shemetagnin Bo. Ah, now it's an interesting split. Afal Pishul in Chometz Bepesach Daila Bahagola. When it comes to Chometz, if you're trying to kasher something from Chometz, a frying pan, Agola is good enough. But Linyan Shari Sumit Tzricha Libun. So the Machaber splits the Psak, okay? And indeed, if you take a look in 7, Hilchos Pesach, it's in Tofnun Aleph Orachayim, Sifir Aleph, Machbos Shemetagnin, Bo Muteres Bagola, okay? Right? Yesh Machmir, Laban Machbos, and so on. But even if you are Machmir, a Libun Kal is good enough, okay? And it's a Libun Kal, as you mentioned, a Libun Kal means the different types of Libun, okay? Libun Kal is a lower level of Libun, which we'll have to discuss, but Libun Kal is similar to Agola. Halachically, it's the same as Agola. It's not the fire directly on the thing. So, Memela comes, that's what Shulchan Aruch says over there. That, at first glance, that would seem to be backwards. Now, aren't you usually more Machmer by Chometz, and Ishakaris, and so on, than we are by other Isurim? Why? By Chometz, it's sufficient to have Agola, and by Shari Isurim, you require Libun. So that's the Chaver Paskins, clearly by us, and then it matches what he says in Hilchos Pesach. So we look at source number 8, the Taz, here by us. The Taz writes, Daila Bahagola, very simple, came with a Terah Kabbalah. He assumes, like those who say, that when you have an absorption of Chometz, Chometz is kosher all year round. So what came into my pot? It was a Terah Kabbalah, right? So therefore, if I want to kasher something for Pesach, Hagola is sufficient because the flavor, there was nothing usher that went in. Right? Now it's going to become us on Pesach, right? So I got a kasher for Pesach, but nothing usher was absorbed in my pot. Therefore, Hagola is usher. Mashenu came by Shari Surin. No, by Shari Surin it's not. It's Isura Bola. So for that, the Hagola is not sufficient. Kechometz on Pesach Tarbola. So for that, Hagola is good enough, unlike by Shari Surin. Just like we say again, many poskim assume that kasher in the oven for Pesach, Libun Kal is good enough. If you have a self-cleaning oven, that's Libun Gomer. Or Libun Chomer, same thing. But Libun, it can have a lighter amount for, depending on the oven and so on and so forth. It's good enough because Kimbola Kachpolta, even though by Shari Surin we're more Machmer. Okay? And now, by the way, if this is correct, which is what the Taz says in just a couple of words, and the Shach mentions also in Sivkot and Ches in Source 9, he also mentions Kevin the Terabola. Right, it's a terabola, so that's why we're more makel by Hilchos Pesach that Hagol is sufficient for a frying pan, and then for Shari Sumin, you need Libun. But now the same thing. If you want to, change a fleishig kli to a milchig kli. Not that there was bosom cholav absorbed, okay. But you want to, let's say you have a milchig kli. You want to make it into a fleishig kli for whatever the reason. You're not supposed to do it regularly, but back and forth, if you do it, right? So that would also be okay to do hagola because it was a terabola, right? I'm not talking about it had an absorbed flavor of basa and chalav together, but that was the distinction, man. We had basa bichalav and basa vichalav, right? We discussed that the way back. So, but if you had you have a pot, which now you want, was used for fleishig, so had no absorbed, is there a fleishig flavor? Is it fleishig kosher fleishig meat? What's the problem? Oh, you glut, okay? So that's a terabola. So the same thing will work over here. Okay, it'll be the same thing. But the Shach, the second part of nine, you've caught in Ches, quotes B'tshuvas Menachem Azariah. Menachem Azariah Fano, one of the early Achronim, known, I guess, probably more for being a Mekubal. A lot of times the Mogan of Rum in Aruch Chaim quotes him the Kabbalistic comments. Okay, it's a sefer called Asura Mamoros. Okay, so sometimes abbreviated the Mogan of Rum, Ayin Mem. Okay, so this is authored by Menachem Azariah Rama, not the Rama with Aleph, Rama with an ayin at the end. Rama Mifano. So, but here he quotes him as a posik. Chuvas Menachem Azariah Simon Tsarivov. He has a different point. He said it's not a matter of a terabola versus a surabola. Okay, he says Atam if they shemachos shall come rov tashmishon beli mayim ela de shar mashim don shemen. Okay, he says because when you're talking about something which you fry, okay, well you generally fry with oil, right? They generally fry with oil. When the guy used his frying pan, not only was what he was cooking treif, but the oil was also treif. The medium was treif. When you're talking about bishul, the medium is usually water, right? The medium is water. So the only what's also is maybe put in, but the medium is water. But when it comes to a frying pan where you use oil, so mistama, the guy's oil was whatever, treif, you know, from chazer or fat or whatever. In other words, the oil was also a problem. You hear the difference? Rovta, he says, Mashen Machosh Chometz, when I use a frying pan as a Jew, so I use it for Chometz, but the oil was kosher. I may have made a French toast, okay? I may have made French toast in this, milchige French toast in this pan. Oh, it doesn't matter. Now I want to use this pan for Pesach. So it has a bleh of Chometz, but the water, or if I use milk, I use eggs, whatever, everything else was kosher. Everything was kosher. But here the medium was not kosher. Okay, that's the point. Well, and so he says, and the Rabbi Akiva Eger that I printed here in Siv Dalet on that Shach, this goes in greater detail and explains a little more clearly than the Shach does. But he says at the end, the Shach does, Lufize gambe machva shel cholov, obosar tzarech libun. Okay, came in the bala b'li shum emtsoi. Okay, if I fried meat in this pot and I now want to kosher it, okay, so good, in other words, good it's a terabola. It's not a matter of a terabola. Here, the issa went right in, right? The issa went right in. And therefore, to kasher from meat to milk would also require libun, even though it's a terabola. You follow? So that's the rule in Ramah Fana. Rekiv Egg explains a little better because he quotes the Taz, who says the difference is in Matthias, you know, what type of liquid it is and so on. But that he said, it appears that the Rabbi Akiva Eger did not, Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in Mechilas Kol Toros of the Prima Gadim. But he thinks the Prima Gadim is not right, but very likely because the Prima Gadim may not have had the Tshuvas of Mami Fano in front of him. You know, not everybody had all the Svarim and so on. Okay, so so Ramah Fano says, you know, again, you have to look at the Rabbi Akiva. He says that he explains that he didn't have the sefer probably, okay? But I've seen the sefer. So to clarify a little further, okay? In other words, the Ramah Fano's opinion, again, the Rabbi Akiva explains it, the chilek between chometz and shari surim is not a terabola and a surabola. It's more a question of metzias. By chometz, okay, the oil, as I said before, is mutter. Okay, whereas by Shari Surim, the oil that they use is also asur, because the guy used whatever his thing was. So the difference in Bishul and Sli is not the difference between liquid and solid. It's not a matter of liquid and solid. The difference it's a matter of, in Bishul, the Blia came in via something else, whether it's water or oil and so on and so forth. In Sli, it goes directly from the asur food into the Kli. So Mimela, even if you have liquid, even if you have oil, a goy had oil, and you cooked in oil, that oil goes directly into the kli. You follow? In other words, you hear his point that Rabbi Eger explains. The difference between bishul and sli is not, you know, is not the one has, one is liquid, one is solid. That's not the issue. That's not the whole issue. In other words, how did the blia come in? By bishul, the blia comes in via a davar mutter. Okay, water, oil, but when it's cooked by a Jew. It's sli, it goes directly in. So if the liquid is mutter, then we're making for hagola. Okay, because the medium is mutter, so then hagola suffices. Okay, but let's say I would cook chicken. Some people do certain recipes. You cook chicken in wine, and it's non-kosher wine. You put it in a pot, pour a bottle of wine, and you cook the chicken in the wine. It's supposed to give it a good, I don't know, I'm not the big connoisseur, but the chicken and wine. So then you attack it with need libun, even though, because the non-kosher wine, it's like the non-kosher oil. So basically, the tzach has two terutzim. One is a terabola, and one is what with the different medium. So, you know, if you would, I'm just trying to think of an example. So it's a matter, again, if you use milk in a pan, okay, so the milk is kosher. So then you want to turn that into a fleishig pot, then it's okay for a hagola. But that's a terrible, it's a first. But according to the second teretz, that case would be good also. Just a moment. So that's what Kiva explains, not like the prima gaudium. Okay, so if you're cooking water versus cooking in oil, and you're cooking kosher oil versus cooking in non-kosher oil. Anyway, that's the idea over here in this sim. That's Sif Dalet. Let's move now to Sif Hey. Sif Hey talks about the following situation. So let's say something needs libun. That's why I said Higil Kli Shetzarich Libun. What if I have a kli that needs libun, but I don't have a blowtorch, I'm not able to do libun now for whatever the reason, I can't do libun. So what's the story? So there was a Tosus in Chulin Ches Amar Aleph, number 11, which is Dimaskul Shalibna Be'or. Okay, so Tosus has a machloka, is basically the Balei Tosus and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam says, what I want to do now, I have a kli that requires libun, but I can't do libun. So I'm going to do Hagola now, and I'll only use it for cooking something through water. I won't use it for Tzli. I'll use it for Bishul. Okay, I did Hagola. Is it good enough? That's the question. Is it good enough? That's what Tosis is bothered by. Is it good enough? Chesan al-Dir Maskel, source 11. It's the Rosh also in Navarazor Parakei, Simon Lamed Dalet. Okay? So the question is, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. I magil something. It requires Libun. Okay, good. So I won't use it for Tzli. I'll use it for something where a hagola would ordinarily suffice. I'm using it for cooking through water. And so I kashered it through water, right? Is that good enough? So that's a machlokas. I mean, the Talmud is Mekel over here, okay? See, it's three lines at the bottom. Tom, I have Omer. Kevan, the ain ikar tashmi, okay, you can use it. I'm not worried that it'll get in the custom because that's not what it's usually used for. And so we can banalize. I mean, the Talmud is Mekel, okay? So if I magil something which needs libun, so according to some, you can use it. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Again, it can't use it for tzli. That we agree. You can't use it for tzli. Questions can use it for bishul. But Balei Tosfos, the other Balei Tosfos are machmer, and he says you can't. And really the question is, what happens when I do that hagola? Do we say, well, only a little bit comes out? The reason it needs libun is because it needs something more powerful to get the absorbed flavor out. So Mimele, if I only do hagola, so it didn't get everything out. Now I'm going to cook through hot water. That will pull more stuff out, right? Is that the way you look at it? That's one way to look at it. That's how some look at it. So if that's the case, then by being magalit now, Zatos is machmer because the hagola doesn't take enough out, all right? For example, klicheres. Why don't we say klicheres? Okay, I can't kasher, but let me do a hagola. I'll use it for something which only needs like hot water. Well, hagala would ordinarily suffice. I could be able to do the klicheres. I'll use it for a lower usage, so to speak. Okay? Apparently, no, because apparently this stuff's still inside. Okay? And so that's a machlokas. And again, you know, the Rosh talks about it. If we look at the other Rishonim, okay, let's take a look at 13. The Ran in the Avodah Zarah Lamed Tesem Beis, the Masl Sofa, V'yeish Shemekilin Lomar, the Klish, Tashmisho, Yidei Ha'or, Imbolish Tamish Bo Bechamin, V'lobor, Bahagola, Sagile, Shekol Mash Yiflot Bechamin, Kfar Polat, Bahagola. The Hagola got out whatever it's going to get out. So a second Hagola, meaning you cook it, a second boil is not going to pull anything else out. Whatever is going to come out through the bubbling water came out already in the bubbling water. So now when I go ahead and cook, so it won't pull anything else out. The stuff that Libun is still deep inside there, but it won't be affected by cooking. Therefore, it's mutter for me to go ahead and cook with it. So claims, that's what some claim. You follow? In other words, the Svara on the side of, on that side, the Svara on the side is saying that Hagola suffices to allow you to use it for cooking through the medium of water. So that position of the that's the position of the Ran and others, okay, that well, the Ran quotes it, that is certainly a position of Rush and one day in Tosis, okay, but the Ran himself says Ve'en Adover Nira. I don't think that's right, okay. Shekevan Sheish B'bola Shel Isser, there's still stuff in there, so every subsequent act of cooking is going to accomplish something. So that's the position of the Ran, okay. And the Rashba in the Bayis HaKotzer, Bayis Dalad, Shire Dalad, okay, also writes, he says, Shakosha, second line, Shakosha, Shmira, Ide, or Eno Polet is a koi de Hagola, Kishnam Shua, Fila, Ide, Chamin, Polet, Humat, Mat. It's still got little stuff in it. So every time you bubble up water, it's going to pull out a little more. According to the first view, Hagola pulls out whatever it can possibly pull out the very first time you do Hagola. That's it. Whatever's left in there is not going to come out through any subsequent boiling water. It's only going to come out through a libun, through a blowtorch, through direct exposure to the fire. But according to this, you know, there's stuff in there. It's every little bit. It'll come out a little bit each time. So in Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says, 15 here, Im Higel Kli Hatzorach Libun. Okay. If you were Magil a Kli, Im Higel Kli, he passed like the Rashba. Okay, in Higel Kli Hatzorak Libun, also Ishtamash for Bechamun Afil Shaloy Adei Aish. It's also use it even not directly for fire. Okay, but the Ramoah adds a Kula. He's Abel Mutal Ishtamash Po Tzonein, but I can use it for something which is cold. Okay, that's the Ramoah adds. 1 second, it's okay to use it for cold. All right, I can't use it for anything else, you know, for hot. Okay, I got you. Well, we machre that way. But he says, Ramoah says, but I can use it for Tzonein. Okay. Which we had some similar to Simon Sadi Aleph. If you learn, that's what the Shach points out. Do I have it here? Yeah, the Taz that it points out. Well, let's Shulchan Aruch himself said, let's just see. Ramor writes, I'm a mutlish tamish botzon, afil chatchila, de hadocha v'shiv shiv heitev. I have a kli that needs libun. Okay, so I can't do libun right now. So let me wash it and get shiv shiv heitev, like we discussed, and I'll use it just for something cold. I need the pan, I need the pot, just for something cold. That's okay. But v'dafka b'derach haroi, right? You can only do that b'derach haroi. Temper, I mean, so with ice cream stores, other things way back in the Simon Sadi Aleph. He says, v'dafka b'derach haroi. K'gon shu b'veis ha'l'chavim, b'di'eved, and so on. Al-merotz l'shtanshu b'keva, yesh machmir, v'amun da'fil l'shtanshu l'tzon, and tzarech ha'gol o'libon, zera shem l'shtanshu b'chamin r'ach yinoh again. You'll need either ha'gol o'libon or whatever it is, because we're afraid next time you won't, you know, we're afraid next time, then that's where knowing. So it is okay for tzonin, derach haroi, okay? Yeah. Then there's some discussion, right? That's what the Taz on Dalit 16 also Shtamish Shekevan Sheishu Bolos. So these are the hardest of Samurai there. Or Akin Chashin Shemifli also Bechamin Shtein. The Shem. That's before. Fine. The Shach here in Sukkot and Tess says this heter use it for cold is not a knife. We'll get to a knife independently. Okay. And then the Taz and the Shach in Sukkot and the Vav and of the Taz, Sukkot and Yud of the Shach have machlokas. What about a Dover Chorif? What about for something which is a Dover Chorif? Okay, which has different dinim, as we discussed, we learned about Dover Chorif. Can you use it for a Dover Chorif? Or will that pull it out? That's a further machlokas. Okay, the machlokas, the Shach and the Taz. The Taz is Mekel, and the Shach says the Chachli shouldn't do it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. The Ramah then adds at the end of Sifhei 20. Bafilu kenem shesham shmitzonin im yesh lochos shechamo yayin kon kai kesef noeg lahagil vein lishanot. But if you know what it was used for, in other words, you knew that it was used for something else, okay, for wine that was non kosher and so on, then even that you have to be machmer. If you buy a table or anything else, you should kasher it because who knows what's spilled on it. That's the chatchila. But the evidence ain't lach shulchozeh. Uklicheres and ishtamshu b'tzonim me'achar the efshar b'hagola mikra the evidence. You have a klicheres, you use for cold, okay, and you can't be magalit because it doesn't work with klicheres, then for sure it's about the evidence mutter b'mariko shtifa heitev. Okay, and also mutter mutter litein b'achar kach l'dorm charifim k'chomets, and that's a further machokas shach and taz we follow like that. What's an example of a b'dievid? I don't really want to go through all the details, but the shachins of cotton yiralev b'dievid klomar shekonon she'ain lo kliacher mutl ishtamish for. The b'dievid is you already bought the kli, and I can't, you know, you have no other opportunity. The idea of wine, what's the problem with wine? Was it wine cold? He said, yeah, but it was there for more than 24 hours, so it's kovash. That's in the cotton yiralev gimel. And in the cotton tesvav, he says, the klicheres. What does Shulchan Aruch say again? Klecheres, shesham shom etzonin. So that's called the b'dievid, right? It's okay b'dievid because you can't do agola. All right. So much for that. Now, one other general ha'ara on this simon. So the Rosh in Avodah Zarah Parakeh Simon Lamed Vav. One second. Yeah, the Rosh says it's mutter to use it for tzonein. Pirush Rashbam dafka ma'agim lam tchila avol hitpil tchila v'avik ketov v'sheretz yadam. And we had that yesterday about the order not being ma'akev, and he says that it's okay. It's exeris hakosav. You can always use something for tzonein. It's not an issue. Okay, and the Ran wonders. Okay, regarding klicheres, do maschal imlach. On Memo and Beis in the Rif and Chulin, in 23. So why should you have to break a klicheres? Use it for cold. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the kasha that the Ran asks. And he's Shema Yavo is Tam Shocham because you might use it for hot. That's why. All right. All right. The same thing that was Pesach and Simon Tofnun Aleph at the beginning. Not much to add to the Mishabur says you can use it B'chtzon and B'derech Harai. Okay. Let's move on to Sif. Let's move on to Siv Vav, right? Siv Vav harkens back to something we discussed some time ago. Remember the din of Cham Mitzoso, Cham Kulo, right? Heat is conducted in metal. And we also discussed that, therefore, Bliyas are also conducted. So that's the issue. The Sugya starts in Psochem Ayin Dalav Aleph, 27. The Mishnah says, Ein Tzolonis HaPesach Lo Shpubal HaAschala. You can't cook the carbon pesach on a metal rotisserie spit or on a grill. And he did allow it. He wants home to roast it and so on a grill. Okay. Now, what's the issue over here? So the Rashi explains in 28, Lola Shpud means a metal, Bishal Barzal, iron bar. Okay. What's the problem? Because Rashi says what? Sorry. Oh, Rashi says because the metal gets hot and it'll end up that the metal is cooking the meat. And the Torah says tzli ish. It's got to be that we're cooked by the fire. Eventually, when you have a metal thing, metal gets hot and the heat is conducted. So the metal is giving off the heat, and the meat that's closest to bordering the metal is what's going to is going to be cooked by the metal, by the spit, and not by tzliyesh. That's the problem. Okay? That's the problem. As the Rashi, the Rachmon Omar, tzliyesh. So the Gemara in Ayin Dal Amar Al from Psochim, excuse me, on that Mishnah, the Gemara says, V'neise shalma teches. Okay, so bring something made out of a different type of metal. No, I did the cham mitzah, so cham kulo. The commit to machos hashpud. Okay, that's cham mitzah, so cham kulo. The Gemara So the Gemara now says on Laman and Beis Himsachim 30. Amalei Rina Rashi, Hani Sakina bePesach. What do we do with knives when it comes to Pesach? So Amalei Didi Chadakad. I buy new ones. That's what I do. So Amalei, that's good for you. You're a wealthy man. You can afford it. What about those of us? You know, don't get too much stipend from the kolo, right? So what about us? What are we gonna? What are we gonna eat? What? How are we gonna? The Lord Show can't buy new stuff. I make it new. What do I mean? I kasher it. I kasher the knives. What do you do? Katayu betina. I cover the katayu, the handles. Okay, the handle with some kind of a substance. I cover the handle. Uparzlayu benura, but. So he says you can. The handle, I just cover and I put it in the fire. And then afterwards, I kasher the handle in roskin. Okay, so he splits. The knife itself or the piece itself, the metal itself, is in directly in the fire. And the other thing is the handle is good enough for roskin. But, behilkasa, it's more on toast right now, behilkasa, idi be roskin. In other words, that's hagola. Roskin means bubbling water. So roskin, hagola is good enough. Hagola is good enough. Rashi says, right, Lamar Efshal in 31, Shari Oshirhoi, this other rabbi was wealthier, so he was able to afford it fine. Okay, Katayu Batina would put a handle, put something over the handle so it wouldn't burn in the fire. Hilchasa, Delot Sarachosinu, they have to put it in the fire in the first place. Ela Prezlayu, Kikasayu Dami, Sagil Bagola Baroshan, it's good enough to have Hagola. Okay, all right, but now we come to an interesting question. If you have a metal kli, and the bli of the iser went only in part of it, right? The bli of the iser was where you stuck it in, whatever. So we know cham mitzaso cham kulo, okay? But do I have to kasher the entire kli, or only the part of the kli? The first I used the fork, and I stuck the fork in, so the top of the fork had no contact with, yes, cham mitzaso cham kulo, but do we say in this direction to say I got to kasher the whole fork? That's really what this sif always told me. You hear the kasher. In other words, the whole fork became usher, but in terms of kashering, what's the story? So that's what the what's being dealt with over here, cham mitzaso cham kulo. Okay? In other words, does it work for hagol or for libun? So we say, although the heat is conducted, okay, let's put it this way, let's see what the people say. The Rashba The Ran on the Rif there in Psachim Ches Amud Aleph in the pages of the Rif, okay, basically says you have to kasher just the place that covered it. Kibolo Kach Polto. That's where the Ikar Bliya was. The rest spread because of Cham Mitzos or Cham Kulz, ultimately became Osir, but Kibolo Kach Polto. That's how the Torah understands what the Ran is talking about. It's all. The Marachar Zeruah writes in the Chulis in Mem Gimel, 33, Shemalabdon Sakin Shetashmisha De'or, and so on and so forth. He says, "Imiktzas bala afal pisha necho mitzosu lecham mitzosu cham kulo, ein tzorach laben olahagil kiim ad makom shebala the kibolo kach polto." That's his shita. Okay. Now the ra'or in the berakabayis in the bayis dalad shar dalad, he has sort of like a middle position, if you will. Okay. So I'm find it here, the words I'm looking for. No, the Ra'oah. Okay, the Ra'oah and the Berak HaBayis. So again, according to the Ran and Pesach and Korn Marach HaZeruah, you only have to kasher the place where the Isser touched, because it goes across Polto. According to the Berak HaBayis, when it comes to something, a Kli that needs Libun, then you have to kasher everything. But if it needs Hagola, then you'll have to imagil the part that that touches it. Okay? And the reason is because what of the basic difference that I mentioned yesterday briefly between Libun and Hagola. What Libun does is it pulls out the flavor. It pulls out the flavor. the forbidden flavor, whatever, it pulls flavor out. The heat draws it out. Okay? So Mamela, you could argue, when something needs only Hagola, so the only part of the Kli that have to be Magil is the part where the Bliya went in, and I pull it out. Libun doesn't do that. Libun destroys. Okay? So if Libun destroys, and we say the whole thing became also, it's only going to destroy the part that it touches. So therefore, for Libun, you'd need the whole thing. Okay? Libun burns the place, then it would have, you need Libun. Okay? Yes. A few other makoros. The Rashba and the Bais Hoch Bais Dal Chardal writes, Alma Enech Shom Behech Shem Mokum Chetach Lavad Kol Lav Asakin Ad Shiach Shav Akat. Even the handle you have to kasher and so on. Okay, and the Bais Hakotzer he says LeInyan Hechsheru Lo Olav Hechshad Ad Shiach Shus Kulo. Yeah. So what? How do we pass this? Let's move down to 29. Let's summarize in the Beis Yosef, but let's move down to 39. I mean. The Shulchan Aruch passes here in Sivov. Klei matchos. Afal pi sheish omer shenishtamish from iso mitzoso nesar kulo. That's chametzoso cham kulo. Mishum de chametzoso cham kulo. Avalinian hechshero lo ololo hechsher ad sheyachsher kulo. To kasher it, it's not going to be kasher to the whole thing. Bein linian hagola bein yin libun. Hagola v'davkem nishtamishem kulo. Avalinian do a she lo nishtamish rak mitzoso. And Kibola Kachpol, the Ezra Torah says, a question, a big question out of the long paths, I'm not going to read in Source 40, in Zion, okay, who discusses some of these issues already mentioned, he mentions other things. The question is, and again, he talks, and also the Shach, I forgot to print the Shach in Yud Zion, it should have been there in 41 instead of Tez Zion, okay, I meant to print the Shach in Yud Zion. An interesting, really, it's a sort of an interesting type of question. The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is mash, because again, it says Kibola Kachpolta, right? I mean, that's, in other words, it's not really clear. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch again. Okay, 39. Sivvot. Klei matchos. Afal pish yeshom shen ishtamish for isum mitzos nesar kulo, mishun necham mitzot cham kulo, avin yachsher lo ala lo hechsher at shiachshu kulo. Bein lina hagol, bein lina liba. Now, what does Ram Moed? The davka im nishtamish bekulo, avnu yadua shalom nishtamish rak b'tzasso. Then kibolah kachpolto. So it sounds like the Ramo is saying like that, the way the Torah learns, the way others learn. Okay, he's saying kibolah only has to be that part of it, right? So yeah. So Ramo said, if you only use part of it to use, then you can be makel on the rest. That's what the Torah assumes. Okay. Just as and others will say no, just as the food goes throughout the whole Kli, it'll have to come out the same way. All right? So, no, just a minute. Yes, yeah, so it's only, yes, yeah, so that's a question, because there's a question what he means. If caught in your Zion, there are more quotes. Maram Mem Tzadi, Sensor Mori Tzedek, look it up. So I haven't found the Shulchan Aruch over here. Some say we're consistent, right? Kibbalah Kachpolto. So you only have to kash the part with the food. I'm sorry. You have to say that if Chametzos Acham Kula Asas, then Chametzos Acham Kula for Het, that'll work too, right? I kash part of it. That will be good enough. That'll cover for everything. He doesn't like that. Yeah, okay. Ramos Mash, that's what the Machloka says here. The long ties. So I had. I printed the wrong Shach. One of the Shach and Yud Zayin. See, the bottom line. Again, to the Beis Yosef. Well, let's go backwards, okay? The Beis Yosef back in 38, the Beis Yosef is machmir like the Rosh and like the Rashba, okay? If the heat moves, then the Bliya moves also, so you have to kasher the whole thing. The heat moves, so the Bliya also moves, okay? So, and it's got to come out that way also. That's what it means. Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber is machmir, And the Ramah quotes a kula. They only have to be magil or in the place where it touched it, where it was used. Right? That's what the Ramah said. Let's see it again. One moment. No, that's what comes out. No. Again, according to the Ramah, it's sufficient just to do libun on the place which touched the iser. Right. Okay. How do you then justify? It sounds like we should be more consistent, right? How do you justify if the heat moves and the bleach should also move? Okay. So Shach Tatsu talks about there in Sukkot Yud Zayin over here. He says only the heat spreads and not the bleya. Yeah, good. Okay, so again, the Shulchan Aruch Mechaber's Machmir, the Ramah has a kula. They only have to do the part where the iser actually touched. The Taz wonders them, it should be Machmir, but iser Torah, in the raw circumstances. Shulchan Aruch agrees with the Ran, really. Okay. All right, I don't have the Shachis, so we'll have to leave it out. All right. So just to look in the Shulchan in Hilchos Pesach, we see there are more rights. Ain lesser b'dievid. Okay, ain lesser b'dievid. Toward the handles. Because Kabbalah Kapoto, so he learned, wasn't bole in the handles. So he learns the other way. He learns in the Ramah over there, seems to learn that it goes by where you touched it only, and that's not what it says over here. You may have a steer in the Ramah, is the point. Because the Ramah, again, it's in Tof 9, Non Aleph, Siv Yud Beis, in 43, writes, In lo higila yados, ain loser with the evid. Okay? Because no food got on it. But according to this other approach, it shouldn't make a difference. The Shavur is also Makel. Okay. All right, that's it for this. So let's see what time is in. Oh, so we have a few minutes. So let's go a little bit by this. I don't want to go through every last detail here, but hopefully you're getting the main gist. So let's go a little weiter now and look at Sif Zion, the last Sif here in Kuf Chaf Aleph. So we can get through most of this today, then tomorrow we'll spend just on, they said, looking on Shulchan Aruch Tov Tav Arachayim, Tofnan Aleph and Tofnan Beis, through the Shulchan Aruch, the main points. Okay? And out of Dalad, last the Sif Zion, we have the situation of a knife. So the Mishnah says, Hasachin, a knife, Shofa v'hi Torah. Just, I don't know, to see what Shofa means. It means, let's say, against a grindstone or something like that, you wet it, W-H-E-T, right? You wet a knife, that's good enough. That gets rid of the flavor. That's what you do with the stock. And the Gemara, at the very end of Avodah Zarah, Mamish, okay? Okay. So now, the Gemara, the very end, Mamash Aleis Gemara Avodah Zarah tells an interesting story. Okay? Hasakin Shofa Shita, Omar Ukbrachama, Menoatza Asara Pomin Bakarka. You've heard this. You bang the knife 10 times into the ground. Okay? That's how you can kasher a knife. Okay? Instead of scraping stuff off, that's what Shofa means, scraping, filing, wetting the knife, and so on. You can bang in the ground 10 times. Omar Hunabar Yeshua, Bakarka She'ena Avuda. It should be not plowed earth, so the earth is really hard, so stuff comes off. Okay. Omar Rabbi, this is all in the Gemara of Rezar Ayin Vav of Beis. Okay. Yeah. Omar of Kana Uvisakin Yofa She'ein Bogumos. Has to be type of knife that doesn't have any nicks or scratches, which you get flavor in there. That's harder to get out. Tanya Ramihochi, Sakin Yofa, Shane Bogumos, no Atsa, Sarma, Pama Makarka. All right, now comes the Mahuna Brady Rishua and tells the story. Yep, tells the following story. Amar Mahuna Brady Rishua. Was his Evid. They were traveling, and they sat Yosei Kameh the Shvur Malka. Okay, this guy. Yeah, this guy, Rav Yehuda? Just a moment. Yeah, Mar Yehuda, I'm sorry. Mar Yehuda and Bati Barbuva, who was his Evid. Okay, Haviyasi Kameh the Shvur Malka was a Persian king. Shvur Malka, Rashi says, Ovid Kochav Moyah. Okay, but the Jews were on good terms. The other Gemaras were Shavur, I think in English they call King Shapur, Shapur. But everybody called Shvur Malka. All right, he was a good person. So this Mar Yehuda and his servant, and you have to understand the case is that the servant had not yet been released, but he was released, but he didn't yet have his get shichur, his partial release. And we know that an Eved Kanani who gets free has mitzvahs like a Jew, okay? Except, like a woman, certain exceptions, right? So they would buy Shur Malka. Isulakame Esroga. They brought the Shur Malka. They brought Shur Malka an Esrog to eat. There wasn't sukkahs. Like at the end to put his tea or whatever. All right, so what did he do? Posak Ochal. Posak Mahavle Labati Bartuba. He cut off a piece and he ate it, and he cut off a piece and he gave it to this Eved who was soon to be a Meshuchar, Bati Bar Tuvi. He gave him a piece to eat, make a bracha and so on and so forth. But he did not give a piece to Mar Yehuda until first, banged the knife into the ground 10 times. That was he kashered the knife. He knew the din. This Shmuel Malka was learned. He knew the Jewish practices. So he gave a piece to the Posak, Achal Posak, now Hodar dotsa asor zimni ba'ara and posak and havla le Mar Yehuda, and he cut a piece off and he gave to Mar Yehuda. But he knew that Mar Yehuda is a frum Jew, and this was Shur Malko's a guy. He had a knife which was a treif knife, so he cut the piece of fruit for himself. And he cut the piece of fruit for this Eved, okay, Bati Batuvi, and he gave it to him. Okay, but he wouldn't give it to Rav Yehuda until he first banged it into the ground. So now the Chor, the story is brought to teach you that you have what's one way of kashering a knife is banging it into the ground 10 times. Okay, Nitza Bekarka, so that's what we're talking about. Okay, this is the story. P.S. Amali Bati Barbuva, who Gavra Lav Bar Yisraelu. This Bati Bartubi was offended. He's already a Jew. He's been an Eved Meshuchar. I'm also Jewish. Why are we only concerned for the kashrus of Mar Yehuda and you weren't concerned for my kashrus? Okay, I didn't realize basically. I didn't know. Okay, Mar Yehuda, I know Rabbi Yehuda. Right, I know he's a firm person. I didn't know you. Okay, I didn't realize you also makbid. That's a simple answer. This is more than the second answer. Also, Amar Le Idkar, my Avad Tabur. I know what you did last night. I think there was once a movie. I know what you did last summer. I know what you did last night. Okay, I know what you did last night. What in the world is that? So Rashi fills in the blanks. Okay. Derech Parsiim, it was the Persian practice, and it's still the practice in some places today. Okay. Where you go to a royal place, and they bring a nice young girl, a nice attractive girl. Would you like some company for the night? You know what I mean? You have the people go to visit the, some rich guy or some nobleman or some, government official, like a convention, something like that. And the people organize it. So they send the girl to knock on the door and they ask, would you like some company for the night? So apparently, the girl came, this Mar Yehuda and his Eved were staying in different rooms. So the girl came to his room, to Mar Yehuda's room, and said, no, thank you very much. Have a pleasant evening. Right? He wasn't interested. He said, no. But, Kibel Bati, Rabbi Yehuda lo Kibel. The other guy took the girl. So and Shur Malka was in charge. It was his girls. So I just presumed. From your behavior last night, that, okay, you're not Jewish, you're not so makbi, you're not so frum. Rabbi Yehuda, I know, is a frum guy, right? He wouldn't take a girl to his bedroom. and so on. Okay, that's how the Masechta ends. It's an unusual, funny story. And the Masechta of Avodah. Anyway, this is the mock of the idea of banging it 10 times and so on. So now there's some discussion, a couple of things. First of all, Rashi says, V'noatza afal pi sheshofa. You need both. Another way to do it, if it's a shirt that has grindy materials. Okay. But anyway, Tosus points out on the Ayin Vav Amud Beis 49, Divas Chasak and Shofa. Okay. No, it's Eser Pamim, but Karka Bishalmi Kamar Sholosh Pamim. Bishalmi does three times. So apparently 10 is not Makav. When you bang in the ground, it gets all the gook off and so on. That's good enough. Okay. However, but from the story of this Shur Malka, you see that ten, there must be 10 times. So that's a machlokas. The Tosa says it has to be Dafka Kamar, Vyesh Lahachmir. The Rosh in Parakesim, Lamrov 50, says Lav Dafka. So it's not a discussion whether you need to have exactly 10 times, not exactly 10 times. But there's also another thing. Do you need to have both? Okay, then with me? I'm talking fast, but it's okay, right? So you need to have. You need to have both. You have to wet it and you file it and bang it because the Mishnah said shofar. Right? The Mishnah said you scrape it, you file it, you rub it against a millstone with something sharpen the knife, a knife sharpener. Okay, so one moment. Let's reset it ready just a second. Yeah, I realize I leave something out. Let me just check my notes again. Yeah, okay. So anyway, that's the story with the knives. So I'm just saying. So there's really two things that happen, okay? Because after all, the din of neitza, the knife is used for tzonin, okay? But two things happen, okay? When you bang in the ground, it cleans the knife, okay, and it prevents, it gets rid of some of the bleas. So the question is, do you need both things? Do you not need both things? After all, hashchaza, when you sharpen the knife I think it's called a ground stone, right? When you sharpen a knife in a ground stone, so then that creates friction, right? So that could be, we could view that friction, that's like libun, okay? And that's what the Rambam writes. If you take a look, I think I printed the Rambam. 52. The Rambam Perkud Zayin Vechus Machosu Dalochas Zayin. The Rambam writes Halokech Sakin. Give me a few extra minutes. We'll finish. Halokech Sakin Mina Akum Milabna Be'esh O Mashchiza Berechaim Shelo. Yimayso Sakin Yofesh Shein. But Pekim is Dailo Im Notz Bekarka Kosher Esor. It depends on the type of knife. Okay, what it was used for. Okay, but basically, if it requires Libun, Hashchaza, according to the Rambam, accomplishes what Libun does because there's friction, there's heat. Again, you've seen it, right? When you rub it against a grindstone like that, it causes friction, it sparks. So that's like Libun. So the Rambam says Hashchaza is really like Libun. The question now becomes, the nafkamina will be, so can I use this knife for hot stuff also? Or can I only use the knife for cold? Is this nitza bekarka? Let's remember when he cut the esrog, so it was cold. Although on the other hand, esrog's a davar charif, right? Sharp, like lemon, right? The tart, it's acidic. Okay, it's it's a citrus fruit. So that's part of the rest of the discussion over here. But according to the Rambam rather, the Ashkoza takes, it's a higher level, okay, and might even allow you to use it for, even for tzonin. So what he writes, look what he writes, Dailo im notza bekarka kosher esrom ve'ochel b'tzonin. Okay, you do it with tzonin. That only allows you cold, but the other thing may allow you to have. There are four in that piece in the Bayez Arach, as I say, disagrees, okay. Now, just in terms of sparks, so here's that Yerushalmim. I was looking for it yesterday. I didn't realize I should have printed it in yesterday's notes. So that's Perek Hay and Avodah Zarah and Yerushalmi, Halacha Tezvav. It's in this context. Rebbe Bar, rather, B'Shem Rebbe Huda, Hado Da'at Mar B'Sakin Ketana, only a smaller knife than that. A bigger knife means Libun. Libun, what is Libun? So it's actually Nitzotzos Menatzim, and sparks fly off. Okay, that's what the definition of that is. So I'm just saying that's what he says in that context of different types of knives. Okay. Anyway, So according to Rambam, Shchos is like Libun. So really, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch now, let's go back. I want to read it all. So let's go to 58. Let's skip to 58. Okay. All right, but first I have this Rishon. Let's do it quickly because I want to finish up and I would like love to get through these. So tomorrow we can just do those two other simonim. Here, the Tosis in Avodah Zarah, on Ayin Vav Beis Yomas Omer Rav Huna. So here we have two deis. Again, without Hashchaza, if you want to use it for hat. Okay? In other words, Rav Rama says Hashchaza is like Liban. Good. What if you can't do that? You don't have a grindstone. So what can do with a knife? Nitsa Bekarko only work for cold. Right? So what about for hat? Okay? So I didn't quote the whole Gemara, did I? The Gemara we had earlier. Where was that Gemara in Pesachim? I quoted it earlier. Laman or Beis. It's the same Gemara that's relevant to this discussion, too. I'm going to find it in the notes. Give me a minute. Where was the... Here it is, yeah. 30. You look back at 30, right, about kasha knives. He said, buy new ones. And I can't afford it. Okay, but then he said, no, but we covered it up with him. Bottom line, so that discussion, knives, I said, we come back to it. Right? So we come back to it. Here we are. Okay, we're back to it. So according to Rashi, according to many others, okay, it requires Hagola. Hagola is good enough. Right? Hagola is going to be good enough. So again, for Tzonein, just to clarify again, to clarify. For Tzonein, Rashi seemed to imply, the Rashi that we quoted on the previous page, that for Tzonein, you need both. Even for Tzonein, you need both steps. All right, again, where's that Rashi? I'm sorry, I got all my papers mixed up here today. Come in a different room. Where was that Rashi? There it is, yeah, 48. The Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav Beis, Dimas Vinoatza. Rashi seemed to imply that you need both, okay? And, you need both needs of a karka and shifa. And most of the other Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rosh, okay, many other Rishonim say that the Rashba, the most Rishonim say you need either one. The Mishnah's lost in shifa, and they have needs and so on. And the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam and most of the authorities, that Nitzah is sufficient. Okay? But let's read it now just skip ahead for a second. In Kuf Chaf Aleph, Siv Zayin, skip 58. Sakin Yoshan, Ben Golem, and Koton, they got from a goy. Im Bola Shimish, Shtamish, but Tzonin, Fonin, Yuzif, a cold. Im Ein Bagumos, no nicks in the knife and so on. No Atzah, Sarapon, but Karka Kosha. Okay? And each time in a karka kosher, so therefore don't keep sticking into the same place, 10 different places, because otherwise you're not going to do the nitsa. Okay? And v'afil lachtoch b'adav charef kimotzon, it's okay. Sagi b'ochet, it's good enough even for something sharp, like we see from the fact that Shor Malka used it for the esrog. Okay, lovely. Okay? But if there's gumos and so on, or you want to use it for something hot, so that's a further machlokas. Again, if it's going to be cold, the Rashi says you need both nitsa and the karka and shifa and some kind of a scraping or filing. Most of us said either one is good enough. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that no matter what, it's noatza b'karka kosher is good enough. Okay? The only thing is that the Ramah adds the Yesh Omer, five lines down. The Yesh Omer, the Hashchaza Mahani Rak Lachtoch Botzonen Avaroin and Chamin. Okay, that even Hashchaza, that's one thing he says. And if you want to use it, he says Bekvius. Where's that line I'm looking for now? If you want to use it Bekvius, it's a different story. Where's the Ramah? Right? Lishtamish Bekvius Logar Mishark Lishinogin Lahagel Afilutzonen. Right, it's a one-time use. He was cutting fruit for him. It's in the parentheses. I'm sorry, in the parentheses. Again. Right after it says on the third line, right after Afilu Lachtoch Bo Dover Charef Kemot Tzonin Sagi B'Hachi says the Ramah, assuming that's Ramah in the small print, Ulishtamish Bo Bekvius Lo Gormi Sharkli Shogel Hagel Afilu Tzonin. We're kashering things even for cold. Okay, so that's what he says from the Yisra Heter. All right. That's our more. How many times you have to bang it in? So we said that's a machlokas. Tosa said 10 times. Rosh, the Ran said even 3, but the Chosh Shachar says here 10 is enough. Okay? And again, it shouldn't be banged off in the same places. So those all the dinim of banging. However, what if I want to go ahead and use now this knife for hat. So here we have a machlokas. All right, so Rashi, Rashbo, and others say Hagol is needed. And Rabbi Natam says depends. A large knife needs Libun. It's all in that Tosas back in, again, I didn't read inside because the hour is late. You can look it up yourself, but that's Tosas. According to Tosas, according to Rabbi Natam, a Sakin Gdola requires Libun because they use it for Tzli and so on. And the Sakin Katana requires Hagola. But Tosas themselves and the Rosh, and many others said always needs Libun, okay? If there are gumos, there are nicks in it. Otherwise, Hagola suffices. And the Rambam, it looks like the Ravid agrees with the Rambam. It depends whether it was a Terabala or a Surabala. If it's a Surabala, it requires Libun, Tekasha from Treif, and Tekasha from, you know, Basra Cholam and so on, then Hagola suffices. So those are the different Shitas. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Lachtoch Bochamin, back in 58, okay, that's all we talked about before. But im yesh po gumos sherot zalacht vacham and olishkel po melabna o mashchiz mashchaz nafachim. Okay, that you require either hashchaza, okay, or libun. All right, so Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, okay, and the Ramoa says im lo yochal labna second eitim shum hakato yalab nenav yagilenu. Okay, if you can't you can't do it all the way, so then. Sharpen it and then do Hagola afterwards. Okay? All right. Naramor just has a couple other cases. If you use it, Mashchizo, there was a good sharpening all over, and then did Hagola, it's also as good as Libun. All right, you have different cases in the Ramor. Just to finish off, so the Shach, the long Shach, cutting your test. As a machlok is about a dover chorif, but in Sirkoton Chof, just a moment, Shach talks about b'di'eved, Ashchaz is good enough b'di'eved, so that's one thing you mentioned, but I want to say something else in that Shach. Just a minute. Yeah, so the Shach and Sirkot and Chof has a whole citation here from the Lavush on a different issue, okay, about kashering something Hagola, but it's more than, you know, it's more than talking about the knives. It talks about more than the knives, okay? He talks about what if I have, yeah, basically for a presentation of Lavush, what if I have enough water to kasher a knife, but I want to kasher another one. So do we say... So we want Shishim, right? We want that it's in. This is how the Shach finishes off here. It's the last Shach. So he goes on to something else. He's not talking about the knife anymore. He talks a little about the knife at the beginning, but then he talks about Hagola in general. So just to finish up with this, then we're done for today. So the Shach discusses what if you don't have enough water for all the different things you're going to be kashering, right? Because... A little belia comes in, okay, and then another one. Do we say each time, or do we say comma bottle? Right? We had it each time, it obliterates it, that's it. So, what would it be chosen of an error, basically, after each time? So he said it could be a problem, and that's another reason why to make a kli only an ero ben yomo, only make sure it's not ben yomo. Otherwise, it'll go back in, right? Because after a while, there's going to be more isser in there. There is water. You're not going to have shishim against it. Okay, which is why you shouldn't pile all this stuff in together when you're kasher. There is a din that ain magilin elabifnei bal hagola, not bal hagola wagon driver, but bal hagola. You have to have somebody there who knows what he's doing. The shuls, when they always had the kasher of the Pesach, already always had somebody there who knows the dinims. You might want to save a lot of time. You're kashering a whole set of a whole set of silverware. So pour everything in at the same time. Just dump it all. No, dump it all at the same time. It's a problem, unless it's all in a benyomo. But then you have to make sure that it's not dumped in such a way that the heat doesn't get to everything. Okay, so that's what we have here in Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph. Simon Kuf Chaf Beis is something I'm not doing. I told my nose and Tom of Gum, and actually to review most things we've touched upon already. So I'm sorry if I went a little quickly today. I wanted to get through these makaras. And therefore, meanwhile, tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we're finished the Yerodea. Okay. So tomorrow, I just want to learn however long it'll take. Archaim, Simon, Tofnon, Aleph, and Tofnon, Bez, a little bit of, from each of those Simonim, because that kind of fills in the blanks. And we have to remember that the Shulchan Aruch here, in Siv Gimel, or Siv Kuf Chaf Aleph, referred us this, so we should take a look at it. You know, once you refer to it, you may as well take a look. So that will do Bez Hashem tomorrow. Okay, and tomorrow, Shir, regular time, 10:30? Good. Okay, everyone should have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.